And, you know, when we talk about corruption, it becomes a very depressing prospect to think that you've got to listen to an issue about corruption again and your mood's going to drop. But some good things seem to be happening. Number one, we've got Eskom, who's now decided to go B to the W, and they're trying to claim money back from former executives. Andre Dorota sent me a WhatsApp the other day going, listen, this is just the beginning. It's not by any body's imagination the best of starts, but we've got to go after the money. The country needs it, right? And then you hear about the Special Tribunal on Corruption, Fraud and Illicit Money Flows. Together with the SIU, they've started freezing pension payouts. This is for officials who are implicated in corrupt activities, and then they resign. And I just want to bring your attention. We've spoken about Western Cape, in the Western Cape in particular. This is where we're broadcasting, right? Principals who've been accused of corruption. And we've spoken to the department, and we said to them, but these principals have been accused of corruption. They say, well, they resigned. There's nothing we can do about it. Because once they resigned, then, you know, they're no longer part of the system. They can't be disciplined. And it's this sort of nonsense that we need to stop. So, Wayne Duvenage, how are you doing, sir?
I'm well, Kina, and you're spot on. This is good discussion and good stuff that we've got to unpack because, perpetrators mustn't be allowed to just resign.
Exactly.
This is what we love about what Andre Dorota is doing, is that they're going after the people who got those organizations into the mess. They have broken the rules. They have broken the commercial acts and other areas where the organization has a right to go after them. So this is great news for South Africa.
And the Special Tribunal on Corruption, fraud, there's fraud and there's illicit money laundering as well. I mean, my challenge with the SIU is that the president's got to sign a proclamation. Someone called in and said, we still need something like the Scorpions. What were they before? Were they the Scorpions, right? The initial.
Yeah, they were the Scorpions.
The Scorpions.
They changed to the Hawks. Well, they were done with that good powers.
Yeah.
And extremely robust in their corruption fighting efforts. Obviously, Jacob Zuma was in their sights as he became president. He quickly disbanded them.
Yeah.
There's talk of reinstating that entity, which would be good for South Africa.
Now let's talk about some of the tactics of the vermin. They steal our money and then they want to wiggle away. What are some of the tactics that they use, Wayne?
Well, getting the fund that money because there's two elements to it. There's the modus operandi of state capture was clear. It was people on the outside and the inside working together and hijacking as much money as they can in procurement practices of the state-owned entities, where a lot of development funds and infrastructure development funds were put. And that's a classic case. You see Eskom, SAA, Denel, just the list goes on and on. Transnet, a big one, billions moved offshore through the China. In fact, we've written to them, and that'll break next week, through the China North and South Rail companies who got those 1,064 locomotive deals.
Yeah.
So once the money is there, and the money laundering is so clear, for many years, everybody thought, well, Jacob Zuma's got our back, nothing's going to happen, and nothing did happen. But who's in power today? It's not necessarily in power tomorrow. Things have changed, and suddenly the fingerprints and the digital fingerprints are all over the place. And what has happened? These guys have all gone into hiding, gone to ground. I mean, some have got out of the country, like the Guptas and Salim Essa, and they're living the life of luxury with our money. They need to be bought back. And so this case with the SIU is the start of the requests for extradition, bringing these people back, a repatriation of funds, bringing the money back. So this is a good idea.
So let's talk about this particular unit, right? The SIU and then the tribunal. What exactly are they focusing on at the moment?
Well, not too sure. This is the SIU tribunal, I mean.
Yeah, I'm talking about the one now where they're starting to freeze the pensions, the Special Tribunal on Corruption. Is it quite a broad church of issues that they're looking at under one umbrella, or are they, do they have a much more focused start?
I think it's going to be focused on the big ticket items where there's enough evidence that's come through from various areas. The Sonder Commission, the SIU have got information. So do the police and the NPA. And to start now by seizing and freezing up assets that could be declared, and they would have done their homework, proceeds of crime. And if you were working in the state and earning a salary, you know, your pensions are part of your salary. If you found wanting, we want to go back and get as much as possible. Yeah. So this is a good place to start, freezing the pensions of those who there's sufficient evidence that they were involved. The cases still have to happen, but you freeze it for now. It's not going to get in the way of their lifestyles. Right now, they're not living off their pensions.
Yeah.
And they won't be if they're found guilty and it'll be removed from them. So this is a good focus area.
We also have, if one looks at the Zondo Commission, witnesses coming up with all sorts of excuses as to why they shouldn't be appearing. I mean, one other bright spark said, oh, no, she's got a high-powered job. She doesn't have time to chat to her counsel. I mean, I don't think I've heard that load of rubbish in a very long time, although a long time in these days is not too long indeed. So, Wayne, your take on Zondo now wanting to just summons people, just get them there.
It's long overdue. He should have been doing this some time ago. We're of the opinion there are a lot of people, you know, when you look at Van Malefe, Anos Singh, Mosebenzi Zwane, Faith Matambi, there's a lot of people who have not appeared yet, and yet they are so deep and thick in the game of state capture. And this is now no longer asking. He needs to subpoena. These are big names that a lot of money has got question marks on their involvement, and we need answers. So he should have been subpoenaing a long time ago. He's let them lie low, and if they're not going to come forward, well, he must tell them to come forward. So we're happy that he's rattling that cage. We will be writing to him as part of the civil society working group. We meet regularly with a number of other entities, and these are the demands we're putting on the commission.
Okay, this is really good. It's your organization's been around for some time now, and you continue receiving support from primarily who?
Our organization is funded by citizens, ordinary citizens,
wonderful,
tens of thousands of them, and small and medium business. We get nothing from big business other than right in the beginning when we set up, but that's when we were known as the Opposition to Urban Tolling Alliance. We
that's weren't, correct.
Yeah. So we are 100% funded by, and then one or two big donor organizations that like the work that we're doing in transparency and local government and
brilliant,
that one-off, but that's less than 4% of our revenue.
And what sort of work are you doing in the Western Cape? I know there was something about the Milton Lagoon at one stage. What sort of work are you guys doing in the Western Cape in particular?
It was that one. We were looking also at the pollution, offshore pollution in the marine reserves that's taking place. The city pumps off Camps Bay area. It's just protecting the environment, doing what they've got to do with regards to managing waste, wastewater pollution. But the Milnerton one's obviously closer to residents. You see it, you smell it. And that needs to. Yep. So we were just assisting a number of ratepayer associations there.
Brilliant.
Because they weren't being taken seriously. We've got an office more so in Parliament, doing parliamentary engagement down there, and do a lot of submissions in Parliament on some of the things that are happening.
Brilliant. I just wanted to highlight some of the work you're doing locally as well. And it's been a great pivot, I think, as an organization, looking at the broader corruption, tax abuse issues. But, you know, so we celebrate these little things, right, like freezing pensions. But people like Ace Magashule, for example, still run around and they're shocked about corruption. And we all laugh. Right. Is the president doing enough?
No, he isn't. You know, one would have hoped by now that the fight against corruption would have been so front at the forefront of everything that we're trying to do. Because when accountability and corruption starts to unravel and take foot, then you change the culture of a country, because corruption becomes taboo, and it's not the case. I mean, it's almost You see it now with relief funds being plundered. I mean, that's the lowest. How low can you go as a country when your officials are involved in profiteering out of relief funds? It's just so sick. Mm. So he hasn't done enough. We know that there's a political factionalism in the ruling party. He's got to be guarded. He's fighting with his hands tied behind his back. So you give him a little bit of understanding, and you can't, because you've got to also put the pressure on him. But you also can't put too much pressure that his opponents say, well, everybody doesn't like you, Mr. Ramaphosa. Off you go then, and we'll have David Mabuza or Ace Magashula coming in to head the party. So you can see the alternatives are bad. So he's the best of what is a bad bunch or a dubious bunch. And we need to put wind in his sails and put him under pressure to fight corruption.
Absolutely.
So not enough is being done. But a lot has been done in the fact that, can you imagine if the Zuma cabal was there, you'd still have Sean Abrams in the NPA. Yep. You'd have Tom Moyani and SARS, and all of these things have changed. So there's a lot of good stuff happening behind the scenes, by the way, unfolding, as you've just seen in Eskom.
Yep.
And we're putting SAA and others under pressure to say, now you too must behave like that that state-owned entity. It's your job to go after, not civil society's job.
Absolutely.
Your purpose.
But I mean, you know, Wayne, the president, you know, Jacob Zuma had one thing that was better than him. I'll tell you what it is. And I don't know how redeeming it is. When he wanted to get the job done, he did it. He surrounded himself. He bloated his cabinet. He essentially paid that cabinet hush money, right? Mm-hmm. Gave them decent lifestyles.
Yeah.
And those were people from the NEC, people who supported them. So it was very difficult for them to say no to him, and he got away with it, including half the stooges we had in Parliament. This president wants to huddle and cuddle and have discussions with everybody until there's some stupid consensus on issues that he just needs to act on.
Yeah, you see, it was a compromise at NASREC, and his NEC is pretty split. If that compromise happen, he might not have got in the head seat. But just imagine that NEC was behind him, how far he would be now. But because they're not, because there's some difficulties there, he's having to tread carefully, and that's it. So if he gets the NEC, if we can get Ace out of the NEC, so let's say we can arrest him and one or two others, and they move on and they're replaced with the supporters of the president, well, then things will move a lot faster. You heard him at the NEC meeting on the weekend saying, guys, let's change the rules now. No more dealing with government if you're a family member. And they're not listening to him.
No, that's
it
crazy.
Wouldn't have been that way if they were on his side.
Do you hear the joke? Wayne, wonderful joke I heard the other day. We have to wrap because it's 10 o'clock for news.
Yeah.
The ANC has an integrity commission. Anyway, you must have a wonderful day.
You too.
Wayne Duvenage is the CEO of Outer.